Today is the fourth sermon in our Lenten preaching series called Let Love Rise. This series is inspired by Jesus' use of the image of bread to describe himself, and it's inviting us to explore how the process of bread making connects with the spiritual preparation of Lent. We're reflecting together on how God is planting, harvesting, weeding, milling, mixing, and rising in our lives. And as we let God's love rise within us, we're also discerning how God might be calling us to share that love with the world. This week, we're turning to the Gospel of Luke to see what we can learn about the connection between bread and prayer. Now, throughout Luke's gospel, prayer is an integral part of Jesus' life. Luke often mentions the time when Jesus goes off by himself to pray. He also tells us specifically that Jesus prayed before he chose his apostles and when he fed the 5,000. So it seems fitting that the disciples would ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. That's what happens at the start of the passage we're going to hear today. Clearly, the disciples have seen how important prayer is in Jesus' life, and they want to do as Jesus does. They want to pray just like him. When Jesus responds to their request, we learn something about what prayer means to him. We'll see that for Jesus, prayer isn't just a way to connect with God and nourish our own souls. It's also a way to commit ourselves to the work of the kingdom, to building a world where all people are nourished in body, mind, and spirit. So let's listen now for the word of God in the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to shorten our reading today just a little bit because Pam and I are focusing in our sermon just on the beginning part of the text that's listed in the bulletin, and I'm mindful of our time. So we're going to see what we can learn about prayer in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Our middle hymn today is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." If you're here in the sanctuary, you will find that in your hymnal. And if you're worshiping with us from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing right along with us.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I just love how the Spirit works. When we first started making plans for the celebration of the church's 300th anniversary, there were certain things we knew we wanted to highlight. And of course, our partnership with the Weymouth Food Pantry was one of them. This partnership really deepened when we began hosting the pop-up pantry here at Old South. And it just so happens that the very first pup was held at OSU on March 19th, 2016, exactly 7 years ago today. When I realized that the anniversary of the pup was going to fall on a Sunday this year, I reached out to Pam to see if she could join us for worship, and she said yes. And then I looked at the scripture reading Reverend Brian and I had chosen for today. Now, keep in mind that we chose this passage even before we realized we would be celebrating the anniversary of the pup, even before we planned for Pam to be here with us in worship. But the passage we read today from the Gospel of Luke is perfect for today, because it invites us to think about the connection between bread and prayer and community and how God is calling us to make the world a better place. And the pup is about all of those things too. The Spirit works in such beautiful ways. Now, today's scripture reading contained the words that we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. We say this prayer together in worship every Sunday, just like we did today. You might say it when you pray on your own throughout the week. We say the words so often that sometimes they roll right off our tongues without us even giving them a second thought. We don't always understand what this prayer really means. So today I want us to pause and notice a couple of things about these very familiar words. First, I want us to notice the pronouns we use in the Lord's Prayer. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it begins with the words, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Our Father, not my Father. The Lord's Prayer is not a personal prayer. All the parts of this prayer that refer to us and not to God, the people parts, they all use plural pronouns like our, us, we. There is no way to pray the Lord's Prayer as an individual. We always pray this prayer in community, even if we think we're praying by ourselves, we're really not, because we're using the same words that have been used by generations of faithful disciples who have come before us, and we're using the same words that are still used today by generations of faithful followers all throughout the world. There is no part of the Lord's Prayer that I can pray just for myself. And that is a powerful thing. So notice that when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, when he teaches us to pray, he gives us a prayer that we can never say just for ourselves. Which is why we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." We don't pray for my daily bread. We pray for our daily bread. We can't ever pray the Lord's Prayer selfishly. We aren't allowed to ask God just to meet our own needs. When we pray, we must be ready to include the needs of others alongside our own needs. Because Jesus wants us to remember that we are bound up together in the lives we lead. We are called to be together in community so that we can care for one another. If I am nourished, but you are still hungry, then something is wrong. If anyone, anywhere, is ever hungry, it means there is more work for us to do. Because if we want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, which we pray over and over again in the Lord's Prayer, if we want God's love to be made real in this world, then we must pray and work and share and give in order to make sure everyone everywhere is nourished and fed. And that might seem like a tall order, but we can start by making sure our neighbors right here in Weymouth receive their daily bread.
Here we go. Hello, everyone. When Reverend Jenny invited me to come and speak with you all today, I jumped at the chance. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share my heart. I was born in Southern Africa, and I truly feel often that it was God's hand that led me here and put me in this role in your community. We have a word from back home, and perhaps you've heard it before. The word is Ubuntu. It has no direct translation, like Bahobe, which means bread, or Ntate, which means father. In its best translation, it means I am because you are. It's a philosophy more than a word. I am well because you are well. I am hungry because you are hungry. In this context, the word I becomes us. We, our. Language is so interesting. Where words come from, how they're strung together to form intent. The other day, actually last November, I read a book, Native American Gardening, Buffalo Bird Woman's Guide to Traditional Gardening Methods. Buffalo Bird Woman was from the Hidatsa tribe, and she was quite a no-nonsense character. That was clear in the book. In the book, she explains that in Hidatsa language, words given to living things are not nouns or even pronouns, but actually verbs. The words for plant, tree, man, child, translated actually mean to be a plant, to be a man, to be a child. How cool is that? Whenever we speak, to be reminded of the people around us are living, breathing creatures of God, capable of growth, feeling. Back to Ubuntu. Archbishop Desmond Tutu wrote, "We say a person is only a person through other persons. We don't come into this world fully formed. We learn how to think, how to walk, how to speak, how to behave, indeed, how to be human from other human beings. We need other human beings in order to be human. We are made for togetherness. We are made for family, for fellowship. We are made to exist in a tender network of interdependence." I joined the Weymouth Food Pantry in 2018, May that year. The pop-up pantry downstairs was one of my first experiences of how fabulous the community is that surrounds the food pantry. And I'd only been at the food pantry a couple of months when the idea came up to take what was an every other week endeavor and double down our efforts and open every week. And we did, and it was good. Later that year, we decided to create the Weymouth Food Pantry Community Garden just outside. A space where people can gather, turn soil, plant seed, and share the bounty. Our garden has become a beacon of what food security and community can look like. A year later, when COVID presented some very real challenges for all of us, we rallied, shifted, adapted, and showed up. The pop-up pantry moved outside into the parking lot, and we made sure every person who came to us for help was greeted with a friendly face and a bag of groceries. In 2022, we started Made with Love, a program that provides freshly made meals cooked right here in the kitchen downstairs, led by your very own Pat Riddle, for neighbors who are food insecure because they can't cook. And now in 2023, you all have joined our efforts to feed our children in our community by filling up your happy 300th birthday tree with 300 food items each month for our backpack program. The backpack program helps children in Weymouth Public Schools who have their nutrition needs met during the school through free and reduced lunch program, but experience hunger on weekends. It's a program that has helped improve attendance. Our children have improved concentration. They are more active, and they have better peer-to-peer relationships. This is our story. And it is because of our story that Tom, a man who lost his wife of 50-something years and then had a stroke and was partially disabled, has a hearty meal made with love to pop in the microwave instead of a can of mixed vegetables, which is what he was living on. It is because of our story that the teen center in Weymouth now has a garden too, and we're in talks to open a third garden. Just the other day, a food pantry connected to a church in Connecticut reached out to us. They had heard of our garden and since had been stalking us on social media. And they asked us if we could share information so that they too could get one started and build their own. It is because of our story that Glenda, a single mom working two jobs who had to keep moving because her rent kept going up and up, had to prove to a bank that she could put savings away every month for a whole year before they would give her a loan. She came to the food pantry for her groceries and bought her house a year later and now has a stable home for her family. This is our story. It is here that I feel welcomed because our neighbors are welcomed. It is here that I feel cared for because our neighbors are cared for. It is through our partnership, our collaboration, the work we do standing shoulder to shoulder in service that I feel nourished. I'm so thankful to be here today to celebrate the past seven years of service together. And I want to leave this with you. If you want to hear God speak to you, for sure come to church on Sunday. If you want to see his work, come to church on Saturday. God bless.
Thank you, Pam, for sharing our story. And friends, I hope you will celebrate our story once again by joining us after worship downstairs. But before we head downstairs, we get to sing again. Our closing hymn today is God Whose Giving Knows No Ending. If you're here in the sanctuary, you'll find it in your hymnals. And if you're worshiping with us online, the words will be dropping into the comments so that you can sing right along with us.